Allie, my wife, was like, "Oh, you had, you know, I had the Magic Spoon cereal this morning for breakfast, which has considerably fewer points than what I normally eat." And she's like, "Oh, you're saving up for tonight, aren't you?" I was like, "Yep, you know it."
Schools in session. This is Recruiting Daily's Sourcing School Podcast. Real talk about recruiting, sourcing, and cyber sleuthing. Hot takes on sourcing tools, recruiting tech, and anything we want to talk about.
With no filter.
It's time to level up and put your sourcing pants on. Here's your dudes, Ryan Leary and Brian Fink.
Yeah, so while I was waiting for everybody to get started, I was like mixing up a little bit of the Beastie Boys and a little Red Hot Chili Peppers as I was like, what you want? Everybody, are we recording? Are we live? Are we like doing something?
We're live. But do you know the name of the show? That's the question. We got to test you.
Welcome to Sourcing School with your host, Ryan. I can see clearly, Leary, and we've got not one, but dose. We have two guests for us today.
These aren't guests though, dude. These are like, this is like a hardcore show. Like I don't even belong on this call.
Okay. So today it is Sourcing School, AKA League of Legends. And we've got two spectacular legends, awesome recruiters, people that if they're at a conference, you should go shake their hands because they're both approachable. We are joined by Adam Gordon all the way from Scotland and then all the way across the world calling in from the lovely tappings of the West Coast in America. We have got Marvin Smith. Gentlemen, what's going on? How are you today?
Well, I'm good. Thanks so much for having me. Talking to you from Scotland. I'm Adam. I'm just thinking, actually, Marvin's on the West Coast. We can't be far away from exactly the opposite side of the world from each other, I would think.
Sounds right.
Yeah. Actually, you're probably closer to Marvin than I am to Marvin. I'm on the East Coast. Marvin's on the West Coast. How far away are you, Adam?
Scotland's three. I don't know.
I'm about 3,000 miles or more.
It's about 9 hours by air to Seattle, I think, from the UK. The UK. Yeah. So I don't, Scotland's.
Or, yeah, that's, it'll be the same. Yeah. It'll be about the same, yeah.
It'll take me about eight hours, yeah. That's interesting.
Ryan, so today it's time for a road trip.
Yeah, the road trip time. Let's do it. We'll do it live next time. So we're talking, of course, with these two guys on. We're going to talk marketing, automation, and recruitment. And why CRM needs to toodaloo pronto? Is that right? Did I read that right?
I think that's the sort of thing that I may be suggested talking about. I've got absolutely no idea whether Marvin's interested in that subject.
That's what we're doing. That's what we're talking about today. So let's kick this thing off. So Adam, I'm surprised to read that line there, right? Why does it need to CRM needs a toodaloo. I get it now. Okay. So run us through your thought there.
Well, I just don't see any point in CRM. I've said this for a long time. I don't understand why CRM and ATS were ever two separate categories of software in recruitment. They do the same thing. They enable workflows, they store information. If an ATS has got folders included, then it is a CRM. So there's not really much difference between them. Marketing automation is an entirely different type of thing, though. And I'm quite happy to sort of go into that a little bit more and explain why that is. But I noticed that Marvin's dropped off because he probably didn't like that. introduction to myself.
Yeah, I just noticed that. Damn, he was just like, "Yeah, I'm out of here. Screw it."
So the thing is about applicant tracking systems and CRMs. They're both systems of record. They store information. They enable workflows. You've got candidate profiles. You need to manually update them. Either you manually update them or the candidate manually updates them. But in recruitment, the thing is, we want to know in real time which people are interacting with us, which candidates are looking at our career sites, opening our emails, looking at our social media, doing all that sort of thing, because we want to know who's hire ready. And we know who's hire ready based on tracking their interactions.
Adam, you're making this way too complicated. People just say, I'm open to opportunities on LinkedIn, and you reach out to them on LinkedIn. What is all this nonsense about tracking opportunities and scoring leads and finding out if people are engaged with the brand?
Yeah, that's right. It'd be really great if LinkedIn was the alternative to any of our own database systems, and all those data scientists were updating it regularly and just telling us that they're come and get me, and I'm interested in your brand specifically. They don't know, of course. So that's why we really need to create our own ecosystems, and we need to make sure that we understand in real time which people are cold, warm, and hire ready. It's very difficult to do that on any ATS or CRM, because it's not tracking and scoring what people are doing. But stuck in the middle here is these CRM products that I've just never known what they're for. I've just never really known if somebody's got smart recruiters and they've got smart recruiter CRM, why are they buying some other CRM? There's just not any point.
I don't understand that either.
Yeah. So this is my kind of theory, which is that CRM should, I think this is your words, Ryan, not mine. I've never used the term toodle off, but it works for the point.
Yeah. What does it say in there? Yeah, I'm looking in the notes. Toodaloo,
maybe. Yeah, that definitely wasn't something I wrote either. No. Somebody else must have.
I was like, I didn't make the note. That's what Marvin did. Marvin wrote the notes toodaloo, and that's exactly what he did. He toodalooed.
Toodalooed. He left us. He's not coming back. So dude, before we jump into all this, I know this isn't a pitch on product, but tell us a little bit more about what you guys are doing, because I think you're kind of leading the way in when we get into I guess you call it in-demand talent, right? Talk about that a bit. What does that mean to you?
Yeah. Okay. So one thing that's really I've learned a lot in the last year during the pandemic is that when you're hiring in-demand talent, you can't take the same approach as the other hires you make. So if you're hiring software engineers and solutions architects and data scientists and nurses, enterprise salespeople, these people aren't, you know, standing around looking for a job. They're not interested in, they're not on Indeed. They're not looking at job ads. They're not on your career site. So you've got to turn their heads in a really different way. You've got to roll out the red carpet and nurture them and generate goodwill by being useful and relevant. So in-demand talent needs a special approach. You can't just post job adverts and then they're going to apply. You can't just find 100 people on LinkedIn, send out 100 emails and expect, you know, to get a shortlist. Obviously you could be really great at with the words you use, and you're going to get, you know, a better result than somebody that can't write. But overall, in-demand talent needs nurtured. So this is why we need to be thinking in recruitment. We need to be thinking about different tactics for different types of people. And the most sophisticated employers and recruitment teams are doing that, but it's probably, I don't know, 2%. 98% have got the same tactic for every vacancy they hire for, and that's a massive waste of time and money.
Talk to me about that from a centralized recruiting standpoint. I mean, you know, actually, I wish Marvin was on the call right now.
Marvin is back.
He's back?
Oh, yes. Thank you. I'm here.
All right. So, you know, Marvin and I recruit for the high demand talent in the Seattle area. And what you're proposing really, Adam, is that if you created some kind of centralized team that was very bespoke and very concierge in their approach, is that what I'm picking up on, or did I miss this?
I don't know if you need a separate team to do this, but I think that certainly individuals that are focused on things like tech hiring, they shouldn't be doing what people are doing, you know, when they're hiring in volume areas or the areas where there's lots of candidates. They should be taking a really dedicated sort of approach to building talent pipelines. And when I say building talent pipelines, I don't mean a list of people. I mean a cohort of people that you've got an ongoing relationship with. And in order to have an ongoing relationship with more than 150 people, there's a number, and it's called Dunbar's number, which is 150. And that's the number of people that an average human can maintain a relationship at any one time. So if you've got a list of, you know, 1,000 engineers you want to maintain a relationship with, you can't really do it manually. It's just not possible. And it's probably a big waste of time. So you got to do other things. You got to do it through generating goodwill with events, with meetups, with sharing useful, relevant content, which is going to help them with their career. And yeah, it probably is a, for a big company, like the companies that you and Marvin work for, yeah, a dedicated team is probably the right thing to do. It might only be two people. It might be, you know, a badger set that's dedicated to it. But I think that's probably the best approach, definitely.
Marvin, what do you think about that? Like, because I'm thinking about it and like, how do I take this back to AWS and kind of make something great happen?
Yeah, I have to just start with amen to Adam, preach it. You know, it's the key really is going to come down to relevant and valuable content that you can use to keep that prospect in orbit around your brand until the timing is right for them to make a move. That's the long and short of it. I've been on a centralized team at Lockheed until about 3 months ago, and we built talent pipelines, and we did what Adam talked about. My colleagues leveraged technology to maintain a pipeline of around 1,200 people each. And these were in cybersecurity, and these were in cleared engineers that are high in demand in our area. And so, you know, we can craft the message at scale. We can use the CRM and run drip marketing campaigns. But ultimately, it comes down to that prospect and what's relevant and valuable to them. What do they want to know about? And how can you help them in their career? So it might be career management. It might be an event that you would give them some industry ideas on what's going on, tech briefings, those kind of things. But by and large, it's about them, not about us.
Marvin, how do you make it about them? Like, you're one of the most approachable people that I know, and you're always there to give very conscientious and considerate advice. Mm-hmm. How do you make it about the candidate and not make it about the opportunity?
I've been working on this for the last 2 years, and it really was something that clicked when I was watching Glenn Cathy one day, and he was talking about empathy and how if you didn't have empathy, you weren't going to make it. So it's really stepping into their shoes and thinking about what their problems are. So here's an example. Boeing announced a few days ago or a month ago that they weren't going to give bonuses anymore, but they were going to give company stock. So what if a company wrote an email that said, did you get the bonus you deserved? And then in that email crafted a message that talked about, you know, money isn't everything, but it's a symptom of something. And plant a seed and address a group of people, and then run a, you know, that's one message, and there's usually two or three other storyline messages in that drip campaign, and then you engage those particular people. That's one way to do it. And then once you've got them and got their attention, then you nurture a campaign. So what, you know, I started my career as a recruiter, a third party recruiter, and I spent about 27 years in that profession. And I always found that people came back to me all the time to check on the market. And they weren't talking about the stock market. They were talking about within their particular talent segment or the discipline they were in, whether it be finance or whether it be engineering, they wanted to know what the job market was like. What's, you know, if there's somebody that's high potential on their way up, they're kind of keeping tabs on the overall market, who was hiring, who was making moves, that sort of thing. And so it's really kind of what Gartner pushes today as that career advisor, that talent advisor kind of approach to things, where you provide that career conversation to people within specific talent segments. So you use that approach, that conversation, but you also add other things that might be of value to them along the way. Does that make sense, Brian?
I think it makes a lot of sense. Actually, I come back to it, and you know, I too started as a third party recruiter, and I have candidates. Well, no, they're not candidates; they're friends of mine. Like, I mean, Marvin, you see them on my Facebook page, who like,
right?
And they'll ask a question to me, and they'll ask a question to other recruiters, or that I know, or that they say, Brian, this recruiter called me. Should I trust them? And I'm like, yeah, because like I started in sales recruiting. I still have a lot of salespeople who come to me that are enterprise sellers. And they're like, you know, who should I be talking to about my next career move? And I'm like, because they know I've moved over to the tech side and I'm in-house at AWS. I think that really does speak to that, acting with that humanity, with that humility. One of the lessons that I learned from my mentor, Jeff Audette, is that Jeff gave me 7 habits of highly effective people. And he said that the most important habit in there for recruiters was to speak last and to listen first, so that mm-hmm. you could understand where people were coming from as opposed to where you wanted them to go.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's back to what Adam said in the beginning, which was, I'm sorry, Adam, was, you know, that relevant and valuable, you know, and the Dunbar number. I mean, I used that in when I was building talent communities. That was an important consideration about how many people you could engage and so forth. But it always came down to content, and the best content that I've seen comes from the people that know best. So if it's a veteran talking to a veteran, or it's an engineer talking to an engineer, a lot of times it's not us in recruiting. It's getting some stakeholders to get involved. So, sorry, Adam.
I totally agree with that. I think that LinkedIn told us in 2019 that 70% of people were not interested in job moves, 20% were tentative, and 10% were actively looking for a job. That was LinkedIn mm-hmm. members. So what I think about that is 10% of people are going to be interested in your job descriptions, 20% are going to be interested in employer brand, 70% don't care at all. When you put that into tech recruitment, you know, those numbers that are interested in a job move is going to be lower. So if at least 70% of people don't care about your employer brand or your job descriptions, then you need to take recruitment entirely out of the conversation, and you need to put useful, relevant things for those individuals that's going to keep them inspired without selling jobs or your employer brand. And one way to do that is every time you take a brief from a hiring manager, get them on Zoom or whatever you use. At Lockheed Martin, you definitely don't use Zoom, do you? You'll use something much more secure than that, I would think. Probably AWS, you won't use Zoom either. you'll get them on, but when you're taking a brief from a hiring manager, get them on camera, ask them 3 questions. How did you become a manager or a leader in this organization? What are the most important things that you've learned in your career? And what did you do that you wish you hadn't done? Or what mistake did you make? Or what are the skills that people need to get ahead in their careers as a business analyst? You know, those types of things. Nothing to do with working at your company, nothing to do with what the job's all about that they're hiring for. But that takes like just a couple of minutes to get that information. And that's really great content to share with people to keep them inspired, even when they're not interested in careers.
Yeah. So Adam, you may have answered this. So we're coming up on time here, but each episode, we'd like to end with some takeaways that we can give to the listening audience. And you may have answered your question here, but maybe not. Maybe you've got something else to give. So I think this time, Fink, instead of doing like a whole bunch of takeaways, three takeaways or something like that, why don't we just go with,
why don't we ask for your top 21 trends of 2021?
Deal done. Go for it. What if we go? So why don't we do this? If each of you can give us just one example of a campaign approach that you've had success with in the past that somebody can take away from this call today and start to implement. And if they have questions, they can reach out to anybody here. But so something they can think about as they start building an outreach campaign or just a campaign, whether it's outreach or internal, as they're building this process out internally.
Well, I can tell you about a customer of mine. It's a company called Specsavers. Specsavers is an optometry retail business. They hire optometrists and audiologists in about 15 countries in Europe and Asia Pacific. They have a talent community called Green Club. It's not branded as a talent community. Specsavers is not mentioned anywhere. It's half a dozen landing pages knitted together with a form to just sign in. It's all about skills for optometrists. There is no mention of the organization anywhere. It's occasional meetups. It is webinars, broadcasts, things like that. There is a small sort of simple networking area, like a kind of chat board. And it is put together by the Specsavers recruitment team. They are nowhere to be seen. The hiring managers are all in there, engaging in conversation. And then, of course, they know when somebody's gone from that site onto the Specsavers career site, that's the point when they reach out to those individuals. That's just a really great example of leading with value, being useful, and they know what they'll get in return. They'll get the goodwill from that community. So that's a really good example of something that could be done pretty simply.
Very nice. Marvin, last word is on you, my friend.
I don't know. It's hard to top. It's hard to top. A hat tip to Adam and his client for that. That's just a brilliant way to go, because that's really kind of the Red Bull mentality. You know how Red Bull became part of the Gen X games, and they aren't seen as a vendor to them. They're seen as a partner. And I always admire companies that can do that. That's great. I think to highlight one of the most interesting projects I worked on in the last year or so was finding a way to re-engage with people that were the victim of the black hole of compliance that happens sometimes in big companies, and reaching out to re-engage those people. And that was rewarding. It brought some humanity back. You know, Lockheed has a big brand, and we've won the Candidate Experience Awards many, many times in a row, but like I think 8 years now. But even within trying to do all the right things, you still have some gaps. And with compliance, where you have to meet OFCCP, and actually humans never see a resume, people can be screened out without anybody seeing it. And so what we did was put a small team together, three of us, and we engaged the people and you know, semi-apologized and tried to use some humor and converted 20% of those people into active candidates and then moved them through a process. And so those are the kinds of things that I think that, you know, the people are already, you know, committed to your brand. They're interested, they've applied, you know, and somehow you've missed them. And you can go back through that. And particularly during these times, I think that would make really great sense in, you know, with competitive talent that you're trying to hire. So hope that helps.
I know we're out of time, but can I just add one really quick thing to what Marvin just said there? Because that's a really great thing to do, is re-engaging those kind of past candidates who you might have lost that relationship with and try and reinvigorate it. We used to call that waking the dead. And then at the start of the pandemic, we thought, nah, let's not maybe use that anymore. That's a bit distasteful. So we changed the term to panning for gold. And then I realized there's a connotation there, and panning for gold's got a link with like the slave trade. So that's when I went, nah, that's definitely not something we want to be associated with. And we went back to Waking the Dead.
That is, guys, this has been off the chains amazing. One of the best episodes I think we've had. I think had a drop off. He may be hanging on.
No. I'm here. Shade with the Gauge, Vanilla with the Nine. You know, that's Fink. I'm here. I'm still waiting for the top 21 things that we got to do in 2021. Maybe we'll have you guys back for another episode to handle that. If somebody wants to reach out to either of you, how do they do it? What's the best way to get in contact with you?
For me, it's easy. I'm pretty easy to find on social media, not on Instagram. I don't go there. Although Instagram is the best place for sourcing narcissists and sycophants, I understand. but I'm not there, but I'm easy to find on LinkedIn and Facebook, and on email I'm adam@candidate.id.
I'm easy to find as well. I disagree about Instagram. I love to take pictures of birds and wildlife, and so I push my pictures there under the name Marv Smith. But you can find me at Lockheed or Marv Smith at MSN, probably the easiest email to get me. And you can hit me up on Twitter or LinkedIn or the usual places.
Oh, man, that means it's over.
You've been listening to the Recruiting Live podcast by Recruiting Daily. Check out the latest industry podcasts, webinars, articles, and news at recruitingdaily.com.